and welcome to another edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. Paul Dottino and Howard Cross. For the next hour, we will take your phone calls, your questions, and your comments about the New York Giants as they prepare to take on the Dallas Cowboys Sunday night at MetLife Stadium here in East Rutherford, New Jersey. It is a Sunday night game, so make sure you dress warm, Howard. Yeah. It's going to be cold.
It's supposed to be really, really cold. Not cold, like really cold.
Maybe not so good for Dallas.
It's going to be cold.
Not so good for him on the sidelines either.
It's going to be cold on both sidelines. If we're cold, Dallas is cold. It's going to be cold. Only thing you can do is like turn off the heater. Not that we would do that.
Exactly. Hey, just want to get to the injury report as always as we open the program. Our number, by the way, is 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513 or hashtag Giants Chat if you prefer to hit us up on Twitter. Giants injury report. Guys who were limited yesterday, and these guys had been nicked up over the course of the last couple of weeks. Mark Herzlick, off the concussion, was back at practice yesterday, limited. He will help the special teams coverage. That would be a good thing. Owo Digizua has been nursing a swollen knee. With JPP being out right now, they need all hands on deck on the defensive line. So it was good for him to be limited to practice. Justin Pugh was saying that today's going to be a big test for him, a hurdle he's got to clear, but he's planning to play on Sunday if everything goes well. Corey Sensabaugh with some sore ribs also was limited at practice yesterday. And then Shane Vereen continues to be limited. Now, at this point, they haven't decided whether or not he'll be activated for the Cowboys or not. That remains a possibility. He has been now about a week or so in practice. Middle of last week, Howard, he actually started to practice.
Nice.
So he's working his way in. It still remains to be seen whether or not he'll be ready for the game. But the Giants getting some guys back. JPP, obviously, with the core muscle surgery the other day. We know we're not going to see him in the game. Dwayne Harris did not practice yesterday with a sore ankle. I got the impression from him that was simply to hold him out and give him a little rest. Same thing. Yeah, I know.
He'll be fine.
Same thing with Jonathan Hankins, who has a sore quad. He told the media yesterday he was also taking a rest and that he expected to play against Dallas on Sunday as well. Nat Burhey, however, in the concussion protocol, was unavailable. So that's the list of the walking wounded that the Giants have this week, Howard, okay, as they try to prepare for the Cowboys. Anybody there of impact for you, either positively or negatively, as we move forward the next couple of days?
You know, it's all about how the defense is going to play, how they're going to get themselves together. It's funny, we did a show, spoke to Michael Irvin, and the question that I asked Mike, because, you know, he loves his boys, the Cowboys.
Of course he does.
As great as these guys are playing and everything's going good, so what would be your thing? If you were trying to figure out a way to beat your team, what would you do? You've got to score a lot of points. Like, either score them early, score them often, make them one-dimensional, take Zeke out of the game because they have to throw the ball to keep up. If you can figure out a way to do that, because you'll beat the Cowboys. I was like, that is a very interesting thing to say. I'm like, I thought that was a very good analysis by him.
Well, if the Giants' defense is going to do things to Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott, they're going to be relying on some reserve defensive ends, mm-hmm, guys like Kerry Wynn, mm-hmm, maybe Owero Digizua, Romeo Okwara, mm-hmm, also trying to get some pass rush out of Devon Kennard in the sub package when he, yep, comes in and plays one of those defensive tackle spots. These are all guys, Howard, who are going to see increased reps, and they will need production.
Yeah, but like, you know, I go back to what Irvin said. I think it's more about how many points you can score. If you can put points up early, you can take a lot of this whole Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott thing out of the equation.
How much difference, then, does the potential return of Vereen and Pugh matter?
It matters a lot. I mean, if Pugh can come back and play and you know, be very effective, it can help out in the running game. Dallas, the thing that we thought about Dallas was that we thought that they were going to be, how do I say, they were going to have a weak defense. Now the offense is playing so well that they're able to tee off on teams defensively. But if you score a few points, then that kind of goes away. They'll be on their heels. So it's going to be interesting. I think, you know, Odell Beckham's going to have a big day. I think the other receivers are going to have a big day. The tight ends are going to show up. And then all of a sudden you get a little bit of a lead. You can start running the thing and cause them some stress.
There have been many people over the years who like to say in big games your best players have to be the ones to play well.
Yeah.
And then there are other folks who say, well, in games like this, there could be an X factor and some guy who steps up out of nowhere and makes the plays. How do you see this game going?
I think this game could go in the way of it's going to have to be an offensive game. Eli's going to have his best moment. The better he plays, the more pressure. Again, their offense is based on this big, heavy offensive line that just beats you down, and you just get tired of playing against them by the end of the game. If the Giants can score points, if the Giants can score points early, it puts pressure on that defense. And I know that's what they're looking at, and they're trying to figure it out, but that's the key to this.
All right, Howard, let's go to the phones, and Andrew is on line one to start the program. Hello. Hello,
guys,
Andrew.
I agree with that strategy, score, and be able to run the ball, keep your defense rested, especially for the fourth quarter. And speaking of the running the ball, why doesn't Will Ty ever play as a traditional fullback? He definitely has a physique, and he could catch, and he could also run the ball. So why don't they use him in that role?
They use him in that role. They use him in that role a lot. You'll see him going in motion. He comes sit in the backfield. When he sits in the backfield, you probably think of him as an H-back, but he's sitting there as a fullback, and he leads through the hole sometimes to block. If you're not noticing it, then, you know, maybe – you kind of have to, like, pay attention to when he does that. When he'll come in motion, when he comes to the backfield and stops, that means he's playing that fullback spot.
Oh, good. Hopefully they'll be able to line up and have a few runs, you know, where it's predictable, eye formation, fullback, and they could actually run the ball and mix in a lot of – they have a lot of balance, even though they struggle running the ball. There's a lot of playmakers, so I'm excited about the game, and Eli blew the last one, but he, like he said in the post game, that happens sometimes. So if Eli's on his A game and run the ball, turnovers, win the turnover, maybe a special teams. So they have a chance. Like we were bummed out. JPP's not going to play, but they still have a chance. But if they're turning the ball over, and then it's over.
Yeah.
And I'll let you guys go. Thanks, guys.
No problem.
Thank you, Andrew. That'll do it for those of you watching us live on Twitter. If you'd head over to Giants.com or the Giants app, you can watch the rest of the show until the top of the hour. Howard, the caller makes a point about if the Giants turn the ball over, it could be a death blow for them. And really, you're talking about the offense has to outscore Dallas. That means they have to maximize their opportunities. Dallas is a team that wants to hold the ball about 35 minutes in the game, mm-hmm, giving mm-hmm. you the ball maybe only 8 times and 25 minutes to work with.
Mm-hmm.
So the Giants not only have to be efficient, but maybe they've got to get some turnovers, some takeaways themselves.
It's hard to get takeaways when you're just running it. It just is. You know, when you're running it and grinding it, it's hard to get enough guys onto the back to try to get the ball free. It can be done. It's just
Elliott
hard to do.
Dropped one last week, actually.
Yeah, but it can be done, but it's hard to do. Zeke doesn't put the ball into Dak doesn't put the ball into jeopardy in harm's way a lot because he's not really throwing the ball downfield all that
right.
much. And if he throws long balls, that gives opportunity for people to make plays. But if you're in second and five or third and two, you don't have to throw the long ball. Mm-hmm. So that's where the problem comes. And then he uses his tight ends so well. He really uses tight ends. So all those things kind of equate to I don't have to go down the field. My tight end's right on the edge out there running those 5-yard outs, those 8-yard outs. I can just keep, you know, dumping the ball to him, getting first downs. I don't have to put the ball in jeopardy or in harm's way because if I don't need to throw it down the field, it's not an issue. So, again, that means you have to, from an opposing team, you have to score points. I mean, like, if you're only going to get it a few times, when you get it, put it in the end zone.
Got to.
Yeah.
Can't settle for threes.
Yeah. But you got to put it in the end zone.
You know, it's funny. The Giants beat Dallas in week one, and then, of course, the Cowboys have gone on an 11-game winning streak since then to be 11-1.
Mm-hmm.
In that game, Prescott did okay. Elliott only had 50-something yards. Again, it was their NFL debuts, their first games mm-hmm. ever. But I do want to point to one stat that was very interesting to me, Howard. It stuck out like a sore thumb. Dez Bryant caught one pass for I believe it was 8 yards on 5 targets.
Mm-hmm.
Janoris Jenkins You know, we didn't talk about it much then after week one, but as the weeks have progressed, we've seen how good he really is sticking to people. And Bryant was not a factor in game one. Is he going to be a factor Sunday?
I don't think so. I don't think you put the ball at risk. They realize that the Giants have enough guys that can cover. They may be struggling right now with a few guys out in the D-line, but they know for a fact they got a lot of guys who can cover. So why would you put the ball in jeopardy? Why would you – like, to get the ball to Dez, either he's going to catch slants or he's going to catch, you know, something on the sideline. But if he goes deep, then there are a lot of guys back there waiting for the ball to go in the air.
And the Giants have done a good job in recent times about getting those takeaways when they're available.
Yes, they have.
Matthew Martinez hits us up on Twitter. Again, if you want to give us a call, 201-939-4513. Matthew says, third down conversions will have to be our big factor this week. Keep plays alive. I guess he means drives alive.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, third downs will be a factor, but, you know, if you can get it, you got to have positive first down plays. You can't have a throwaway down. Like, if you have a first, like last week, the Giants had a nice first down play. They'd be second and five, and they have a throwaway play. Can't have any throwaway plays.
Right.
Every play's got to, you know, it's got to be moving towards the goal of getting those first downs. It'd be nice to go first down, second down, try to keep it in net mode, but you take what you can get. And those explosive plays, you got to have a few explosive plays to have Dallas rolling, kind of reeling and rocking like, these guys are scoring. They need to be behind.
You know, I wonder how many quarterbacks get to come into the league with a stud offensive line like Prescott has, with a stud running game like he's been given, with the opportunity that on first down, Ezekiel Elliott leads the National Football League with 5.5 yards per carry.
Mm-hmm.
So what Howard's talking about is not putting him in bad or harm's way. How many quarterbacks get a chance to do that, especially as a rookie?
The last person who did it was Ben Roethlisberger. He even had the benefit of a defense. I think.
Yeah.
Actually, wrong. That's not right. The last person to do it was Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson
had it. So, look, you'll get some teams that all they need is, hey, look, we want you to manage the game.
They just want someone to snap the ball.
We're going to give it to you. You don't give it to the other team. Make sure that our jersey has it, and we'll be okay. And that's kind of what they're doing.
Yeah, and so anyway, that's where we stand. Let's see if another Twitter comment or two as we wait for more phone calls to come in. Here we go. Let's go to line one. Ken from Trenton, you're next on the show. Hello.
Hey, Paul. Hey, Howard. How you guys doing today?
Very good.
Very good, Ken. Be careful. That freight train's passing by. Don't step in front of it.
Oh, no. I'm sorry about that. I'm a truck driver.
That's
I'm
okay.
I just wanted to point out something that I think is the reason why Eli Manning has been missing a target in the past 2 weeks. I don't think he's getting all the way through his progression. I think it's obvious that Odell Beckham Jr. is the first read, and it might be a toss-up between, you know, Sterling Shepard and Victor Cruz on the second read, but I think he's got defensive tackles and defensive ends in his lap before he's able to get all the way through his progression, and maybe that's why some guys are being left out.
Howard?
I think not so much. I think he's able to get through some of his progressions. He's not, you know, remember, Eli's just not getting sacked. He gets a hit here or there, but he's not getting sacked a lot this year. So he might be uncomfortable in the pocket, but I don't see him getting hit a lot. It's not like he's giving up five. They're not giving up five sacks a game or 10 hits a game. He's just got to find a way to get in there. A couple times in the game, Eli broke out from the pocket. As he's breaking out from the pocket, he tries to fling the ball downfield. If he sets his feet and throws it, he's definitely going to get the ball there. But he's trying to throw off the one leg, off the one arm, kind of craziness. It's just not what he does, because the receivers are so far down the field when he's doing that.
I had a talent evaluator talk to me this week, actually, Howard, and said I watched Eli against Pittsburgh, and he shocked me with how erratic he was. But he said, I will tell you too, in watching him throw the ball, his mechanics aren't right. And I said, well,
I'm a mechanics guy, so I just know that if your feet aren't on the ground, there's only a few quarterbacks in the league that can snap it down there like that.
Aaron Rodgers can do it.
Aaron Rodgers, Cam Newton, and what's the guy, the bad Cutler. Those three guys.
Oh, yeah. Cutler can do it.
Can snap it down the field. One leg, whatever they're doing, they can figure it out.
All right. Thank you so much, Ken. Was there something else? No?
Nope.
I guess he's gone.
He's gone.
JD from North Carolina, you're next on the show. Hello.
Hey, Paul. Hi, Howard. Thanks for taking my call.
Hi.
Hey, how we doing?
Good, good. Always a pleasure to be able to talk to a former player, especially somebody like you, Howard, who's just been with the team, get some good insight. I just wanted to make a couple points on the running game and then get your guys' opinion. It seems to me like right now, you know, Rashad Jennings is more of a power back, and we may not have the O-line to really let him be successful in that role right now. We may need to switch to Paul Perkins just for his shiftiness, his speed. He seems like he's been able to break some decent runs in the short opportunities he's been getting. And with the O-line that we have right now, it seems like they're really only going to be able to hold their blocks for a short amount of time anyway. Mm-hmm. So do you think it would be beneficial for this offense, right? I mean, they've got to make a change, you know, somewhere right now to really to get the offense going and then to put up more points than they have been all season. Do you think that would be beneficial right now to put Perkins in and make him more of the feature back?
I don't know. I mean, I won't say that it will or it wouldn't. I'm just saying, I will say this, that running the ball takes sometimes you got to be a little committed to it. I don't know if the Giants are totally committed to the run for that balance, as everyone keeps crying for it. You're going to get some zero yards, some minus 1 yards, but then you're going to get the fours, the fives, the tens, four, five, ten, two, three. You got to be willing to take the twos and threes in order to make the rest of the offense work. When the safeties and the linebackers start to see, okay, they're going to run it again, they creep up a little faster. They get closer to the line, and it allows you to throw the ball around the field. If you don't commit to the run, you know, it's harder to have a lot of success at it. And the Giants have had stretches in games, in middle of games, where they'll get a 4-yard pop or a 5-yard pop, and then they'll go away from the run for a while. So I don't pretend to know why they do or what they're calling. I don't pretend to know the check system or anything like that. It's just when you're watching it, you're like, man, they look like they're going to be able to run the ball today. Then they start to run the ball again. So it's a lot of things. We don't know why it's being called the way it's called or success. I will tell you this. It's all about execution. It doesn't matter what play is being called, how you're calling it. You have to execute the play. Everybody has to have a hat on a hat. You got to get to the right depth in your routes. Receivers, if it's a running play, you have to get in and pick that guy off to give him that extra step or two. And like, it's execution 100%.
I will tell you this. The Giants have the lowest rushing yards on first down of anybody in the league at only 3.96 yards per carry. Mm-hmm. And no matter who the running back is, if you're not going to get rushing yards on first down, your offense is going to be plodding in the mud.
Yeah, but if you get – think about this. If you get 3.96, that's basically 4 yards. That is a positive play. Then you're in second and six. Your whole playbook is open to you.
Yeah, but the problem, Howard, that's the average. The average means there's a bunch that aren't getting
there. There are.
That's the problem.
That's true.
So you want that average to be higher because it means your lower carries are not going to be 2 yards and one.
My whole thing is you got to commit to it if you're going to do it. But that's an old school view of football. That's what I believe.
I understand, and I'm with you. Okay, thanks for the call. Go ahead.
Sorry, I was going to say, Howard had mentioned that, too, about how you're going to get those, you know, 0 yard, 1 yard, maybe even some negative yardage in there. And I guess that's where I think Perkins might be able to make the biggest difference, is that if there's penetration on a run play, Jennings is not, you know, small, quick, shifty enough to really make that guy miss, and we get those negative runs. Whereas Perkins, you know, he might be able to make somebody miss who's getting through on a run play. That was pretty much my biggest point. But thanks again for the insight, guys. And
thank you,
sir.
Appreciate the phone call. 201-939-4513. We go to Bobby from Washington. Is that the state or the D.C. variety?
D.C. variety down here with the Washington football team.
Okay. Oh, boy. All right. Well, what do you have for us today?
Well, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You know, I'm a diehard Giants fan. I bleed blue. I named my firstborn Taylor. Yeah. It's a girl.
Oh, baby. How about that?
Yes, my love. I'm concerned. You know, I ride and die. Doesn't matter if we win or lose, but I just want a good game. I want to see us move the ball efficiently and score. And, you know, and I go down. It's like this depression. Like, what is going on with our team? Like, choke somebody, you know. And I'm concerned about mostly Eli. I'm not near him. I don't see him, but I'm concerned. The play, I can't remember what down it was. It may have been third down. When he turned and threw the ball to the ground, wide open receiver, I'm thinking to myself, who is in his head? He doesn't show much emotion, but someone must be in his head to make him do that. I can't see him doing it in practice. I can't see him turn around and plant his feet and throw the ball to the ground. Of course, I kind of like turned the TV off after that. I had to take a breather. Back on.
You sound like Paul.
I'm really concerned because the offense, everything seems to be in place. You know, tight ends playing well. We got, you know, of course, wide receivers, you know, everybody's frustrated because they're not getting the ball, but something must be going on. Someone must be in his ear that's kind of just focusing on one of the receivers. That's not his forte. That's not what he normally does. So someone either is telling him to throw the ball to Beckham and not look at anyone else, or I can't see him doing that. So I'm concerned. So can you guys just give me a little insider perspective about what's going on in-house?
Well, you know, there's no in-house. It's Eli. When Eli's making plays, he's making plays. If things are tight and it looks like, quote-unquote, they need to make a play, they need to find something, he looks for his most dynamic receiver. I mean, that's – if you're in the backfield and you're dropping back and Beckham's double covered, he's still open. So
that's true. Open to every play. I think it's like a baseball player. I mean, a pitcher. You can't keep pitching inside. You got to pitch outside sometimes to trick him a little bit.
I got
give him a little different look.
The only thing I would say to you is this.
Know, I'm going to step out.
Right.
You
got
to go?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll be right back. I'm very sorry, but I got to run out.
Howard's got to go do an interview with the Cowboys folks, and we will allow him to do that. I'm going to stick with you. I'm going to stick with you, but I want to give you one thing here to chew on as you make your second point. That is, during the course of the season, Beckham has been targeted an average of 11 times per game. And the other day against Pittsburgh, it was 16. I'm sure you've read it in the papers, 15 times in the second half. And that was a very skewed week. But other than that, every other week, it's been no more than 12 in one game. So I think when people are screaming and saying, well, Eli's throwing the ball to Beckham too much, I think it's an overreaction to one game. And I think your point a moment ago, as Howard was leaving, is also very accurate. Odell Beckham happens to not only get open more than any other guy on the field, he also does it quicker than anybody else. And if the heat is collapsing on your quarterback, he's looking for the first open guy he can get his eyes on.
Yes,
so you know what I mean? Is it his fault then he's going to pump it to Odell? Odell's the guy who's open.
Well, do you think it's a problem, like something systematic? Because one week is Shepherd. I mean, you know, next week is Cruz not getting the ball.
Let me make something clear now. Remember, a couple of things. Shepherd has been lining up primarily in the slot, okay?
Yeah.
It's a shorter, easier throw for a quarterback from the pocket to hit somebody who's operating out of the slot as opposed to a guy who's operating wide on the sideline. It's a shorter throw. That's just a physical fact.
It's not Cruz made his name, his mark. Yeah.
Absolutely. So the throw to Shepherd is going to be quicker, and it's going to be shorter and probably be a bit of an easier throw. I think it's also justifiable to say that Shepherd, who's a very good route runner and has terrific quicks, is going up against the third corner on the other team.
Yeah.
He probably has an easier mismatch than Victor Cruz does on the outside. So I do think there are going to be plenty of times where it's justifiable that the quarterback would be looking to Shepherd more than he would Cruz. I think the other part to this equation, too, is that, remember, Cruz is running the deeper routes, usually, as opposed to what Beckham's running and what Shepherd's running.
Okay.
Deeper routes take more time to develop.
Yes.
Does Eli have the luxury of that time very often?
No.
So there are some really logical football reasons as to why, in some instances, Victor Cruz is not getting as many targets as you would like to see. And that's just a byproduct of the pass protection. The other receivers getting open maybe quicker, but that's also because of the routes they're running. I tell people all the time, my friend, that I appreciate this call so much because it's another great example of the spider web of football. everything relies on everything else. There's a domino effect. No matter what you say, you can't isolate it. There's a domino effect on everything. What's your next point?
No, that's it. Just go Giants.
Okay.
Go Giants.
I hope I helped you.
Yes, you did. Thank you very much for your time.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Call.
Please call again. Good stuff. Hashtag at Giants Chat if you want to hit us up on Twitter. Or, of course, you can hit us up here at 201-939-4513. I'm at Giants WFAN, by the way. Howard Cross, when he gets back, will be at Howard Cross 87. Alan from Washington, D.C. is next on the program. Hello. Hello, Alan.
Hi, Paul. How's it going?
Oh, great to talk to you. Thank you.
Hey, again, you know, thanks to you and Schmuck and all the other guys who put on the show every day for the fans. We really appreciate it.
We're very glad for your viewership. Trust me. Without you guys, there would be no reason to do the program.
Giants Nation is wondering, how does a Pauly D holiday season look like?
A holiday season. Hopefully there'll be no holiday season, because if the Giants go all the way through into the playoffs, it will extend much through January, and the holidays simply become a blip on my radar.
Okay.
I like to work, my friend. I'm not going to lie to you. You guys know I have so much energy. The family doesn't want me at home. They want me working. Trust me.
I believe it. It's a season of miracles. And hopefully, you know, with the loss of JPP, our defense can still produce how they've been. And, you know, it's hard to replace him as a player.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be even harder to replace him as a leader. I mean, he brings such an energy, especially when he makes a play or he just hypes up the crowd so much. And it's gonna be hard to replace him on the field besides his production.
I'm glad you just said that, because you know what? And I want to take this time. I'm gonna let you finish your point, but I want to take this time to just say one thing. This Giants defense is better prepared to suffer a loss like this than they have been for several years, because this defense has a bunch of guys who are leaders, who are emotional spark plugs. You're looking at guys like Vernon, Snacks, Janoris Jenkins, all of these guys. Landon Collins has shown incredible maturity in his second year in the league. DRC, believe it or not, is a quiet leader in that secondary. The Giants are so much better off right now. Keenan Robinson has shown leadership skills. Jonathan Casillas was voted a co-captain this year. They have so many more guys in the locker room who are better equipped to withstand this loss than they have been in a long, long time.
Yeah, I sure hope so, Paul, because we're going to need it. And
no doubt.
You know, I'm probably one of my favorite players on the team is Victor Cruz, and
sure.
What happened last week, it was, you know, I know it's a little bit frustrating for Giants fans to see, you know, a player like Cruz, who has, you know, such a dynamic, not get the targets or the production from him, especially after, you know, coming back from such a couple of tough injuries over the last two seasons. Do you think we could put him in the slot, or is that out of the question because of his injuries?
Well, you know, it just seems to me right now that Shepard has been so productive there to change it around. I don't know that that makes a lot of sense. I don't think it's bad necessarily to sometimes mix it up, you know, give people different looks. Sometimes, you know, go to a variation or an alternative. But I still think primarily the Giants are probably better off going with the three they have in the three spots they're in. I mean, Victor Cruz is averaging, I think, the second highest yards per catch total of his career. He has made a handful of clutch catches this year that have helped the Giants win a bunch of games. So it's obvious that he's effective out there, and when they can get him the ball, he's getting the job done. You know, they always tell you that the one great thing about a slot guy, when he is on a smaller size and he's got the quicks that Shepard has, he can operate against that third corner on the other team, and he can do business against him. If you're going to line him up outside on the sideline, you've got a lot of corners who are 6 feet, 6 feet one in the league, as they try to find these bigger corners who are more physical and stronger. Those guys usually don't line up in the slot. They're usually on the outside. Do you want to give Shepard that matchup? That's the dilemma you gotta figure out if you're going to line him up outside. He will have bigger guys he's going against, and if they decide they're going to press him and jam him at the line, how effective is he going to be getting open?
I see what you're saying, and, you know, I would just like to see him at least get some targets there. You know, maybe not the bulk, but, you know, just a few to see what he can do.
Because nothing wrong with throwing a little bit of, you know, you like a little Parmesan on your pasta, a little bit of Romano, yeah. Sometimes a little Pecorino, sometimes Mott's. You can change it a little bit if you want. It's all right.
And finally, Paul, before I go off air, I just wanted to, you know, wish all the Giants out there happy holidays. And, you know, especially if we beat Dallas, I mean, it's going to be hard, but we can do it. You know, stranger things have happened in the division. But what are the chances of that New Year's Day being flexed out to a night game against the Redskins?
You know, I was looking at that the other day with somebody, and obviously playoff implications could be on both sides for both teams in that game. If that happens, it's hard to believe that NBC and the NFL would shy away from flexing it. However, there are, I think we counted up, I think, three other games. We were in the workroom the other day, and I think there were three other games that could have at least one team involved in a serious playoff run. So if it's just one, the Giants or the Redskins, they might be tempted to take one of those other games. I think if the Giants and the Redskins are both fighting for maybe that final wild card spot, or they're both fighting for position 5-6, it's going to be hard for them to shy away from the game. But, hey, if you're the Giants, try to clinch the spot before you get to Washington.
You're right.
You know what I mean?
Thanks, Paul.
All right, thank you so much for the phone call. Appreciate it. 201-939-4513 or hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Let me just see if I have a couple of Twitter comments here we can get to. I know some people are shy. They don't necessarily want to dial us up on the phone, and I understand that. Not a problem. We have here E, the Chosen One, says, how about the impact of having Pugh and Vereen back to open up the offense? Howard Cross and I talked about that earlier in the show. It certainly should help. I don't think there's any question. Shane Vereen was brought here as a free agent a couple of years back, or last year, because he's a premier third-down running back. So, yes, I think that would help if he is activated on Sunday. Big Dash 07088 says, why can't we run a screen successfully? Also, what's up with the third and long draw play all the time? Well, in terms of the screen, one of the things you have to have with a screen, very mobile offensive linemen who are very athletic and gifted and can get out there. The Giants offensive line, they've had four different starting guards so far this season. So that's very tough. Where's the cohesion? Where's the rhythm? Where's the flow there when you're replacing your left guard practically every week, it seems? I mean, look, four of them now, and the Giants are 12 games in, so it's like just the averages. It's ridiculous. So they've had no continuity, so it's tough to do it there. And on the other side, you're really going to ask John Jerry, who's a big man, to be athletic enough to get outside and run a screen for you? That's not an easy thing for him to do. So the Giants really don't have the personnel to run that play very often. And then let's see here. Do we have another one? We're looking. No, it looks like that's about it for now. Let me go back to Giants Chat. Again, you guys can hit me up at Giants WFAN, or you can hit us up at Giants Chat, which is the generic BBK website page. James Tipper wants to ask about Shakes. Says Giants playing the same level as the Redskins and the Cowboys. I'm not sure I totally understand the question because I think it's for Shakes. I know Shakes usually calls us. He hasn't been calling us a lot this year. I got him once or twice, but not that often. I guess he must have done something. I know he must have done something on the internet that maybe somebody is responding to. Okay, let's go back to the phone calls. It will be Robin in Atlanta. You're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Paul.
Sure. Glad to do it.
All right. I've got some, you know, I kind of observe. I think that's why we haven't been, you know, like stopping the tight end, you know, because of the position, because we don't have, like, you know, a good tight end or a lead tight end on the team. That's why we could never, you know, control the tight end positions. Team always, you know, somehow they make big plays because, you know, our defense in practice, you know, they don't go up against a good tight end, like an elite tight end or, you know, a good tight end.
I would really hate to see them use that as an excuse, to be honest with you. I appreciate what you're saying. It's true. The Giants really haven't had a super stud all-around tight end in a number of years. But yeah. But that's a real flimsy excuse, don't you think?
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, because we got good receivers. So, like, our cornerbacks and our safeties, you know, they go up, like, you know, quality guys and stuff. So, you know, it's kind of
– it does, you know, help, like, when you practice against the best. I would agree with that. I don't think there's any doubt about it. When you practice against guys who are at a high level, it makes you bring up your level. I can understand that point. I don't know how much I'm willing to go on that, but I think there's a crumb of evidence there.
Okay, and then again with the running back, like sometimes, you know, like the hole be, when I watch some of these runs that they make, the hole is kind of closed, and they kind of force themselves into the hole.
Yeah.
Why don't they like run out to the left or run out to, you know, to the right?
You know. Well, I would say
some of the plays
this.
I saw in Pittsburgh, you know.
Right.
They could have had 2 or 3 yards if they would have, you know, run out to the left or run out to the right.
I think
they could have gained, you know, 2 or 3 yards.
In Paul Perkins' case, he's a rookie, and he has to develop patience and trust, and those things are going to take some time. He hasn't carried the ball a ton here in his rookie season, and that's something I expect him to develop. I expected Andre Williams to develop it, and he never really did. And obviously, he's no longer on the team anymore. I would expect Perkins does develop that. Rashad Jennings, he probably sees the holes better than anybody else in the running back core. He has the patience. The problem is, you know, he's not the quickest guy in the world back there. He's more of a straight-ahead guy. So maybe he might see a hole, he might have the patience, but maybe can't get through it quick enough before the hole closes up. I mean, I'll be honest with you, Robin. There are no Joe Morrises on this team right now. And Little Joe, Howard remembers Little Joe really well.
Little Joe was
a dynamite running back.
He played big, he did. But also, you have to realize that offensive line was good.
Oh, very good.
So you can't.
Howard Cross is back, by the way, folks. In case you didn't see him, all 6'5" of him. He's back.
How we doing? Sorry I missed that.
Yeah.
All right.
But we need somebody like, you know, like a Brandon Jacobs and, you know, a Bradshaw, because – like Bradshaw, he was that, you know, that power runner. He'll run through, you know, anybody. And Jacobs, he was that swifty guy where he can, you know, make cuts and get down the field, you know.
Bradshaw had power, too, now, for a little guy.
He was explosive.
He had pop.
He was explosive, that's for sure.
Thank you, Robin. Appreciate it. Was there something else? Oh, we lost him already. Oh, all right. Well, sorry. I hope you call back on another show. Jesse from San Diego, you are next on the program. Hello.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good to
very
talk
good,
to you.
Very good.
First-time caller. I love your show. I just want to let you guys know that.
Thank you very much.
I just wanted to talk about, you know, I know everybody's been talking about, you know, JBP out for the season and stuff, but my question is one real quick question. Who do you guys think would be the best fit to step in for JBP at the defensive end spot? Like, who would you guys think would be, like, you know, do the better job?
I'm not do the better job, but I think Kerry Wynn is a solid player. You know, he came in last year, played pretty much the whole season. They needed him to play. He made some plays when needed. He can hold up pretty strong on a point in the run.
He's a smart player, too.
He's a smart player. The question will be, can he get enough pressure in the pass game? But if you're getting pressure up the middle, then all he needs to do is contain. And this week specifically, he needs to contain. Mm-hmm. You don't want Dak running around the edge and buying time. You want to keep him in the pocket, make him throw out of the well if you can. So I think it's going to be Kerry Wynn. That's who I would presume it would be, but it could be anybody.
Yeah. And, what do you think about also, like, I heard you guys were talking earlier about Kennard, too. Like, possibly they could use him as a defensive end also. I think that would be pretty, you know, pretty nice thing, too, you know, putting a linebacker at defensive end, you know, through pressure.
It would be. It is in the passing game.
Right.
I don't know if Kennard has got enough, you know, weight in his pants to standing there against tackles rolling off the ball. You got to remember, these are some big boys that are going to be playing two tackles in this game. So you're going to need somebody with a little weight in his butt to be able to hold that edge and set the edge so that Zeke doesn't run around the edge. You want to try to keep everybody in their lane, stay in your spot. You don't want to get hooked or blown out or something. And I think a guy, you know, Kennard's a great player, dynamic, but I don't know if he's big enough to withstand one of those 330-pound tackles.
It's true, true. That was it, guys. You know, hope we get this W this weekend, you know, because I'm tired of hearing all my Cowboys friends talking about Cowboys, you know.
So, Jesse, I'm really sorry, but the Cowboys have clinched the playoff spot. You're going to have to listen to them until January.
I know. But let's go Giants this Sunday.
Okay.
Thank you for taking my call.
No problem, sir.
Thanks so much. Call again. 201-939-4513. Brandon from New York is next on the show. Hello.
Hey, gentlemen. How are you? I just have some comments to make, and then I did have a question afterwards. My first thing is McAvoy, he's really reminding me of an interim head coach right now. I really think somebody's got to convince the stubborn coach to give up the play calling. We have a good offensive coordinator that's worked with Eli for numerous years as a quarterback coach. There are only maybe three, four successful coaches that call their own plays, that have been in the league for such a long time. You got Andy Reid, you got the Green Bay guy, and you got the Saints coach. So I really think if there's anyone to convince him to give that up, because I don't think we're going to win two out of four games if he doesn't. We've got to see more balance with Eli under center.
Brandon, before you go any further, you know that Coach McAdoo has lineage with McCarthy in Green Bay and Peyton in New Orleans. I mean, he's seen it done by guys he knows and he's worked with. So, of course, that probably leaned him in that direction. He's only a rookie head coach, by the way. There's nothing to say that next year he may decide to go the other way. You don't know.
He'll evaluate himself after the season's over. We just hope that the season goes, you know, a couple of weeks into January.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, for him to change up now would really be rocking the boat.
Yes.
I don't necessarily think so. In my opinion, I don't necessarily think so. I think he's spread himself out too thin. He's made rookie mistakes, and I just think he's got to look at himself in the mirror and realize that because I'm not acting as a head coach, looking at everything, and my head's too stuck in the play calling. That's why the mistakes were made, but. Hopefully, maybe his wife or children or someone can convince him. But onto my other thing is, you know, last week when we saw Danelle go into the game, it's been what 3 weeks? He hasn't received a snap. I knew where the ball was going. I'm sure the defensive guy, he jumped the route. He knew where the ball was going as well. So there's little things like that. Yeah, it could have been thrown 2 more inches higher. It would have been caught possibly, but. I didn't really like that. I want to see more two tight end sets with Adams and Ty with big bodies for Eli on the field, which we never see. So the percentage of that has been awful. And also my question to you is, who do you think is a better run blocker, John Jerry or Will Beatty?
Our first Beatty question.
Well, before we get to the offensive line thing, what about the tight end situation, Howard? We've seen Jarrell Adams get more and more snaps in the last month. Mm-hmm. Should he perhaps be targeted more than he has? Let's see, he's got 7, 8, 11 targets over the course of the last 5 games.
I think it's all about how much the coaches and the quarterback trust him. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's something that we get to decide and that we get to – come up and go like, well, I'd like to see him in the game more. Well, if they don't trust him, then he's not going to be in the game. If they trust him and he can – believe me, I think when people watch and they're listening and they're thinking about players and stuff, always remember this. The person who wants success the most is the head coach.
He does. I guarantee it.
He wants it more than anybody in the stadium, probably more than his players want it. He really, really wants success. He will put anybody in the game. Like if you can, oh, well, you're okay? You're getting in the game, right? He's going to come to your house and visit you to make sure that you're ready to go.
He will drive you to the game.
Oh, he'll be there. Like, oh, yeah. Well, I'm going to be driving by your house. You can come ride with me. Like, that's how much the head coach wants it. So if it's a guy that can – if they trust him and they believe in him, they're in the game. And the quarterback then – he's the second guy who wants to win more than anybody. And it's not win more than anybody because he has more desire. Just he knows how much weight is on him. So he's looking for – that's why they throw the ball to Odell Beckham. It's like, I need this to be successful. Where is Odell? And that's kind of where that kind of comes out of. You want your biggest opportunity you want the biggest plus you can get. So that's what happens. Now, why Larry Donnell came in the game the other night, I don't know. I don't know if somebody was on the sideline, if it's something that he always has done, or it's just something different.
The first target he had received since the Los Angeles game out in London on October the 23rd. To the caller's point, he certainly had been an invisible man in the offense the last month or so.
He hasn't been on the field except for special teams.
As far as your comment with Beatty and John Jerry, well, they play two different positions. Jerry's a guard, Beatty's a tackle. I don't know that the answer is relevant.
Beatty cannot play guard.
He's not a guard.
He is not heavy enough.
So I guess my point to it my point is that Bobby Hart's my favorite player on the team. Mm-hmm. My point is that we got to get this run game going. Something's got to be mixed up at some point if we want to make it to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And no knock on Bobby Hart. He's my favorite player. I really think if Beatty's ready, we move him to right tackle. We switch Bobby Hart over to right guard, and we try it out because Bobby Hart, he's a mauler, whether he's on the right tackle position or guard position, and he will make more room. And we know Jerry; he's a great pass protector. But I think that little switch can make a big difference as well.
And like I said before, remember nobody wants to win more than that coach does. He always has his best five. And they're all talking about it constantly. If there is something they could do to improve it from a personnel standpoint with the people that are inside the building, they're going to put them on the field. Those guys are going to get a shot. You never get a situation, and I do mean never, unless you're unfortunately like the Jets where your season's gone, where you start randomly selecting and putting guys in and just experimenting. But we're in the thick of things right now. They're going to go with their best people and their best personnel at all times.
I would also add this. John Jerry's actually done a really solid job in pass protection. Mm-hmm. And the Giants are right now a primarily passing offense.
Yep.
Do you really want to sacrifice the fact I've got him down unofficially in my chart for only giving up two sacks this year. And for the number of times that Eli's throwing back the throw, that's pretty good.
That's very good. I mean, when you can do that, you're doing a lot.
I mean, Hart's done the same as well. I mean, he's played excellent.
I've got unofficially two sacks for Bobby Hart. I like Bobby Hart, but I do think you're probably giving up too much in pass pro if you're gonna make that move and swap them around. And again, I think Bobby Hart's would be a better guard than he would be a tackle. Understand that. I just don't know that I'd make that move right now. Thank you for the call. Please call again on another show. Tommy from New Jersey, you're next on the program with 10 minutes to go. Hello.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Very good, sir.
Two quick questions and just a real, real quick story. The great Howard Cross, a couple years ago, I was at a charitable function and I got a basketball that was signed by Sims, Harry Carson, Michael Strahan, and Howard Cross, and it means a lot to me. I've got it in my office. And,
basketball.
Nice. It's a basketball, but signed by,
Wicked.
Many of the great Giants, and it was for a good cause. And it's a prized possession. So,
like it.
I wanted to ask you a question with regard to the defense. Obviously, Dallas is going to be able to hurt you with the run, and with the pass, the run setting up the pass. With Beasley doing so well this year and Dez being Dez, we have three excellent cornerbacks. If you say that Jenkins is going to play man-to-man on Bryant, would it make sense to have someone on Beasley like DRC or Apple and then someone trailing Witten so that the linebacker doesn't kill us or Beasley doesn't kill us going across the middle where there's just so much open space. I mean, Paul, does it make sense to have you've got three great cornerbacks. Does it make sense to, you know, almost assign one to each of these three guys?
This is what happens in the situation, so that you kind of view it. You can make a commitment to put guys on guys like that, but then they're not there to help when the run gets off.
Exactly.
The problem is that Dallas is able to run the ball so well. If they're able to run the ball so well, then you have to have guys extra commits to get closer to the line, extra commits to be there in case Zeke, you know, gets by the D-line. Because once he gets past the D-line, if someone's got a hand on the linebacker and they're trying to put a hand on Zeke, that's not a tackle.
Not going to work.
So you're going to need, you know, Collins is going to come flying down there. Adams is going to get in there. I mean, everybody's going to have to rally to the ball to make the tackle. And that's why when you see a play action, when you see the tight end open, when you see all this space in the field, it's because they are killing it running the ball. And you see it not just with the Giants. You see it with everybody. I watched Jason Witten, Father Time out there. That guy makes – he's still making plays. I mean, he's still out there putting guys on his back, turning around, catching the ball. You can't get through that big body. He's making plays.
And I guess with JPP not being there, I mean, whether you put Wynn in there or Romeo in there or obviously a combination of the two of them and double O, I mean, it's going to be difficult to stop the run, you know, without JPP. So
the only thing that stops the run is scoring points against them early. And, again,
force them out of
spoke to, you know, Troy Aikman, spoke to Michael Irvin. And, like, you know, you ask them, you know, what are you looking at? How do you beat them? And they just say, like, you gotta score points. You got to put them in stressful situations because they are pretty much, you know, they've been close to a stressful situation, but they haven't been down two touchdowns yet. They haven't been down, you know, late in the game when they're like, okay, we have to abandon the run because we really need to throw the ball. They haven't been in that situation yet. So until you get them in that situation, if you can, it's, you know, you need explosive plays. That's the whole thing. It's going to be explosive plays. I wish it was running the ball, but it's going to be big explosive plays.
Thank you so much for the call. Sounds like we lost him. It's almost kind of like, you know, the kid who's playing a video game and he's just killing it on the beginner level. Well, that's great. You can master the beginner level, and that's kind of what people have been throwing at the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's been set up so well for them. What happens when they have to play in level two?
Yep. Well, the thing with the Cowboys is what we noticed what the Giants did in the first game. They just kept pressuring them, kept pressuring them, kept pressuring them. The defensive line held up against the run. Now Zeke's going to be a different running back this time around. But they held up against the run.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that they could do again this time, even with JPP, you know, being out or whatever. I think they can still hold up against the run. But you still have to score points. You're going to have to score touchdowns. There's going to have to be some explosive plays. There's got to be some pause when they look at each other on the sideline. It can't just be, all right, we got this. We've been here before. It's got to be one of those moments where, like, okay, guys, someone's got to go, hey, we're going to start throwing about Dez. Get, you know, loosen up Dez, stretch out because we need you. It can't be this, you know, first and five. I mean, second and five, you know, third and one. Can't be second and five, first down. It's got to be, you know, it's got to be a couple second and tens. All right. Somebody make a play. Oh, ball got knocked down. Third and ten. They're in an uncomfortable situation. And it's uncomfortable because, hey, we got to make this play because if we don't, they're going to score again. And that's where you got to be with these guys. They have the luxury of grinding it out, putting pressure on your offense because they hold on to the ball for so long. They may come out with a field goal. They could get a touchdown, but they've held it for so long. When you come back on the field, you have to be efficient and you have to execute perfectly.
I remember Parcells used to tell us all the time, and Howard, I'm sure you heard it yourself many times in the locker room. Bill used to say all the time, you want to be able to impose your will on the other team. Well, the way things are set up with the Cowboys, they use these tools like this great offensive line and this great running game to impose their will
on
other teams.
Yeah, but, you know, think about it. You need teams built in a way that can travel. If you have huge offensive line and a running game, no matter if it's raining,
exactly.
If it's freezing, if it's hot, it travels around.
It does good.
And believe it or not, when you have a running game that strong and offensive line that big, the benefactor of it that people don't think about is the defense. Their defense is over there drinking lemonade.
Benefits immensely from
relaxing.
That.
They got their feet up, getting a massage, a mani-pedi. And then, all right, guys, get back in the game, make a play. They go back in, and they're fresh.
And isn't that what it comes down to, Howard? It's not about necessarily putting even pressure on Dak. It's putting pressure on that suspect defense.
Yeah.
Making them have to step up. Yeah. Because I don't know that they can.
I don't know if they're suspect or not, but I know that they're fresh every time they come on the field. Like
they're living a chill
life.
They're
coming on the field like it's the first series of the game almost every time they come back on the field.
Yeah.
Because they go over there and they're relaxing.
We have two more calls to get to. 3 minutes left in the program. Let's quickly go to Jamar. You're next on the show. Hello.
Yes, how you doing?
Hi.
Very good.
Well, I was calling in to talk about Jerry Reese. Like, I honestly feel as though Jerry Reese is killing his team on the offensive end because of his pride. Basically, he told us that he's going to play the best five people on the line, and it's also including Ben McAdoo, too. But they said that they was going to play the best five people.
Yeah, the coach decides who plays, not the GM.
Yeah.
Hear me out. This is why I say it's the GM, because in the beginning, Bobby Hart wasn't in the starting lineup. They said, oh, well, Newhouse is better than him and everything like that. But then Newhouse goes down, Bobby Hart is playing and lights out the whole season. He's considered one of the best five now. It's the same thing on the left side. Eric Flowers is playing bad. We have a Pro Bowler that's sitting on the bench right now as we speak that can come in and help out.
Pro Bowl?
Hold on 1 second. Let me ask you a question.
Pro Bowler.
Hold on. Let me ask you a question, and I know you feel that way. Why do you think he's on the bench?
He's on the bench. The reason why I think he's on the bench is because of because he was injured prior. But then, also, too, he did play bad last year, but everyone played bad last year. You understand what I'm saying? And then the other thing is that if Eric Flowers is he hasn't learned from anyone. He hasn't learned from anyone, and he's still doing the same things over and over and over again. And we don't know what we have in Will Beattie, so why not give him that opportunity?
I'm still trying to figure out what year Will Beattie made the Pro Bowl in.
No.
Because that never happened.
I'm talking about overall in Will Beattie's career. He made a Pro Bowl in his career. So
Never.
And we gave him a contract. We gave him a big contract. So that's what he has to been doing something, right?
Jamar, I'm going to let Howard respond. We got to get to this other call. The show is about to be over. Please, go ahead.
You put the, like I said, I'll keep saying it over and over and over. You want the best players on the field. If a player can help or determine or do anything, there's opportunities for him to show in practice and stuff that he may be able to make that bigger jump. Think about this, and when you're watching the game, when they need that heavy package, they should run him on the field first. It's been most of the year. They didn't even do that for a while. And I'm not saying anything bad about Beattie or anything like that. You just have to understand, and I know everyone keeps harping on this from time to time, you want to win games. You will do anything you can to win games. And if Will was a better player, he'd be in a game. The Bobby Hart thing, no one saw that coming. And that's Bobby Hart's kind of –
he took advantage of the opportunity.
He's the offensive lineman version of Dak Prescott almost. He got a chance to play. You didn't – but he wasn't a rookie, but he got a chance to play, and all of a sudden he really wants to play, and he's doing everything he can to be on the field. And once you get on, you don't ever want to get off. And that's he's doing the right thing. He's making some money.
Big thumbs up for Bobby Hart.
Bobby's making some money.
Final call of the day. We're going to give you 2 minutes, Don, because you've been holding, but we really are running into overtime. Please go ahead.
Good. Good afternoon, guys. I'm going to make this short and sweet, just like me, bringing some positive energy to the show. We are 8-4. Remember where we've been the last few years. I love the defense. I can sit here, go over the X and O's all day till the sun goes down, but that's damn boring. I can go over the line, running back, receivers. Let's go. Let's go, defense. All I want to do is end it with one thing. We are going to go as far as Eli Manning takes us. He is our franchise quarterback. He has got to step up his game. This is the time he's got to do it. Once Eli gets into the prom, watch out in this dance. Guys, thanks for taking my call.
I like it. I like it. Yep, the big underlying story is Eli. Can Eli make the throws? Can Eli make the plays? Can Eli, you know, he's starting to move around a lot. In the pocket, which is good, but can he set his feet and get the ball out to the receiver? It's a good moment.
Yeah, Eli's going to need the best game of his season.
He's going to need it every week for the next few weeks, unfortunately.
I want to give you one set of numbers before we sign off, only because that caller brought it up. Eli Manning, career against the Cowboys with a 12-12 record, a 61% completion percentage, 47 touchdown passes, and 24 interceptions in 24 games. Not bad.
Not good either.
Got to be better.
Okay. All right.
Got to be better. Right. It's only a 2-1 ratio. You'd like it to be better.
I would love for it to be better.
That'll do it for today's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. Again, jot the number down for tomorrow, 201-939-4513 for Howard Cross. I'm Paul Dottino. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.